The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The news never stops. Life goes on around town and around the world. You need a talk show that keeps track of it. A program with bold opinions that's always open to your views. That is this show. Welcome to the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. Hour number two on this 18th day of February 2022. The sun is shining. The temperatures are warming a little better than yesterday was. And always hot topics to warm ourselves by the fires of politics and the primary season. All kinds of things going on. Got folks on hold. Let's get to them. Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick joins us at 8:35 out of that 32nd District congressional race where some Republicans are going to get a crack at Colin Allred will welcome Antonio Swad. But right now, we welcome the following bit of information. It's Friday.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
Keyboards of Richard Tandy, the songwriting of Jeff Lynne, little E-L-O. From Face the Music, little Poker. All right, I know, you know, we all know it is primary season. All kinds of fascinating stuff going on politically. No shortage of headlines. So let's dive in. Let's see. What are your thoughts about the big stuff? I mean, obviously, every morning it's like, has the war started yet? The conflicting, it's bad enough that there are conflicting reports that the Russians, whom I don't trust as far as I can throw them, are saying we are retreating. We're dialing it back a little bit. Great. The Biden administration, whom I don't trust as much as I should. I mean, what have we heard from them the last couple of days? We believe that Russia has already picked out its targets for an invasion, an attack. We believe they're picking out targets. And what was it a couple of days ago? We believe the Russians are crafting a false flag video that they will display to the world that represents some Ukrainian atrocity where it's obvious we had to respond. We are the victims here. Now, this administration has such a credibility and competence gap that I can't even I don't trust what the Russians say. I can't fully trust what my own government says. Hugh Hewitt had exactly right. As Lloyd Austin, as Secretary of Defense, and Secretary of State, winking, blinking, and nod, and Joe Biden dispatched to whatever county in Ohio where the action is, these seem to be words from them designed to deter bad press more than they are designed to deter Russia. So I don't know. What do I always say? Let the game come to me. Let the game come to you. Let's just keep close watch on what happens. I have said for a long time that there was always a non-zero possibility that there'll be no invasion at all. There's just a head fake by Putin. Is this me predicting he won't invade? Not at all. He could invade, next hour. But anything is possible. That's probably something we could wrap around almost any news story. Anything's possible. A lot of people are hoping that things are interestingly possible in uh, in the world of politics. I did a very cool segment. I want you to watch on Sunday night. Does Fox 4 have a couple of newscasts on Sunday night? I think in the 9 o'clock newscast on Sunday night, one of their reporters, a wonderful guy named Stephen Dial, invited me and a reporter named Chuck Lindell from the Austin American-Statesman. We did a little back and forth on the attorney general's race. Recorded it yesterday. It'll air on Sunday night in Fox 4's 9 o'clock newscast. Did it via Zoom right here from this wonderful studio. So that was cool. Always good to hang out with the good folks at Fox 4. And so there's that. And with that, let's hop towards your calls. All kinds of things going on. No shortage of material. 866-660-5759. We are in San Antonio. Rick, welcome. How you doing, sir?
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
Had a question. The folks in Canada who had their financial life and a lot of the social life devastated, How do they get out of that? Is it a time limit or rest of their lives, or do they have to come show contrition? I mean,
they will have to bend the knee to the Canadian oligarchs, and who we now refer as the prime miniature, Justin Trudeau, is going to have to. I know, isn't that great? I wish I'd invented that. Canada has been revealed, and God bless Canada and Canadians, nice people, beautiful country, but wow, what an authoritarian leftist hellhole Canada has turned out to be when given the opportunity to, and now listen, this is civil disobedience. If Canadian authorities wish to defuse some of what's going on because traffic's been disrupted, the flow of like auto parts has been disrupted, blah, blah, blah. There are ways to do that fall short of this kind of clampdown, not just on the truckers themselves, but on anybody who dared to contribute to their cause via online fundraising. Those folks are being doxxed and exposed and brutalized. It's... So your question is, how long does this last? As long as the regime in Canada wishes it to, or until and unless maybe there's some court challenge to it.
I guess it just demonstrates, hey, you need something like the Bill of Rights.
Well, exactly. That's right. A lot of people are saying, wait a minute, what about free speech? What about this? What about that? Canada ain't America. I mean, you drive from Detroit into Windsor, it doesn't feel so very, very different, but it is. Ain't no American Constitution in Canada. There are things that under the British Crown in the UK and Canada and other territories of the Crown that you can do that American government has simply done away with. We fought a war to get away from that. And successfully did that, thank heavens. And so that's why we're applying an American lens to what's going on in Canada and applying some interesting American passions to what may turn out to be an American truckers convoy working its way from California eastward to D.C. What's your thought about that? Do we need an American convoy?
I'm from San Antonio, but I drive a truck. I'm currently in Virginia, so I'm interested.
Oh, thank you. Well, what do you think? What would you? Go ahead.
If it's handled right, it could have an impact. But if it's too disorganized, it's not going to be effective.
What a brilliant observation. I love the idea. Many times I'll talk about loving the idea of something more than the thing itself. I love the idea of this. I love the optics. I know the left will wildly overplay its hand, that they will refer to these people as if they are demon spawn and evil incarnate, and it'll be great to watch them fulminate in that regard. But I really want it to be, and I don't want any jack wagons, throwing, swastikas on the back of the truck. If we get two guys who do that, that will be 1,000 people of the convoy, because that's exactly what happened in Canada. The Trudeau talked about how you hosers can be on the side of people who are representing the swastika. And by the way, there's one conservative member of government in Canada who's an actual Jewish woman. She didn't appreciate that. So I want it to. Do I want it to happen? Sure. Do I want it to go well? I pray that it does. Thank you. Safe travels to you, sir. Thank you very, very much. Marty, Mark Davis, welcome. How are you, sir?
Well, I'm not very well for a pasty old white guy.
Well, maybe we can improve your day.
You talk to Ted Cruz periodically and John Cornyn periodically, don't you?
Always do. You bet.
Uh-huh. Well, the next time you have the opportunity, I wish you would ask them to find out about the languishing political prisoners up in D.C. We have the Bill of Rights. That's the only way they could get the Constitution ratified. We have the Bill of Rights, but I have no idea how you implement them with a little bitty individual against the power of the federal government. You've got the Speedy Trial, 6th, 7th, and 8th Amendment.
Right.
Finds exactly what the hell is going on with the languishing prisoners up there.
Yeah. Let me give you somebody who's doing yeoman's work in that regard, and that is Congressman Greg Stube, S-T-E-U-B-E. He has been involved in a back and forth with the D.C. Department of Corrections, interestingly, who's holding most of these folks. And for those that don't know, January 6th happened. There was rioting. That was bad. Those people deserve some type of prosecution. But, hello, it's been a year and a month, and we have people still being held, awaiting trial, nebulously charged. I mean, some people have been charged, sentenced, they're out, some of them serving time. Great, that's how the wheels of justice turn. There's some who are just rotting in the D.C. Department of Corrections awaiting the wheels of justice, and it's crazy how long that's taking, and one wonders if they are being punished with sloth in the system for, you know, for the unpardonable sin of election skepticism.
Setting an example to the rest of the citizens of the United States, if you go up against, and again, I feel much the same way as everybody else does. That was a terrible example of a political demonstration. It yep. got out of hand. I understand that.
Yep.
But you also have a speedy trial, and you also have against excessive bail. They're not a flight risk, and nobody is worrying about them.
Well, not nobody. Stube is. Our congressional friend Louis Gohmert, who wants to be Attorney General of Texas, he still makes the occasional trek over there to see what the heck is going on. There are questions being asked. The D.C. Department of Corrections, notoriously unresponsive. You have exactly the right take, and I appreciate it, Marty. And by that I mean, let's see, let me triangulate in the following way. It can be perceived that if you have questions about the mistreatment of some of the January 6th defendants, that must mean you loved the rioting. No. Flip the coin. If you find that the rioting was bad, and rioting is always bad, that must mean you can't have any space in your heart to wonder what the heck is going on with those people who are still in jail. Both of those are mythological. So the way to walk around and have a proper take on this is to say those folks who chose to breach the Capitol didn't do anybody any favors that day. Thanks a lot, geniuses. Could have been a much better headline that day. Not the headline of Trump wins, but a headline of thousands of Americans showing up to reveal their proper dissatisfaction with a tainted election result that we were just asked to swallow as if it were sweet, sweet medicine in an uneventful election. So there's take number one. Simultaneously true, the people who did engage in that lawbreaking deserve a swift trial with the proper processing of charges and the proper turning of the wheels of justice. And dozens of them, at least, have not received that. Mark Davis, 824. Forty-5 years ago, never knowing what to do. Somebody thought it'd be a good idea. Oh, 35 years ago, sorry, ladies. Whoops. The Trio album with Emmylou Harris, Linda Ronstadt, and Dolly Parton, Pain of Loving You, 1987, sorry. Don't make anybody older than we already are. All right, let's do this. Just for time reasons, want to be on time for Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick. Got calls. Stay where you are. Don't move. Lieutenant Gov joins us next. We have a number of things to talk about with him, so get ready for that. At 9:05, as I mentioned, Antonio Swad out of that 32nd Congressional District that crackles with news every day. And so we appreciate you being here. Happy Friday. Into the newsroom we go. Here's Gordon Griffin. We'll be right back. Right, little Texas band, little ZZ Top, heading into a Texas primary season. No shortage of stuff to talk about always with Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, who joins us. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, Mark. Great to be with you. Traveling the state every day, a different city somewhere, supporting my Senate candidates who are running. We have five retired senators and another open seat, so trying to get the best conservatives I can get elected.
This is against the backdrop of what people are always saying. Oh, Texas about what? AOC herself down here saying, man, we're going to unionize the hell out of Texas. We're going to turn Texas purple and then blue. You know, the hypothetical Abbott Beto poll has him up by 10. The notion of, you know, Texas flipping continues to be mythology. Anything can change in the future. Nothing's guaranteed forever. But I think part of your job is making sure that we keep that myth suppressed.
Yes. And, you know, when she came out and said that last week, Mark, I tweeted out something to the effect of, you know, she can sell this woke liberal nonsense in New York City, but she's not selling it in Texas. And actually, the more she comes to Texas and campaigns, the more votes Republicans will get.
As we take a look at all kinds of things in primary politics, let's go to one that's nuts and bolts and another one that involves some attention being paid to you at the Texas Tribune about your power like, that you wield.
Like every day.
First, the pesky thing about the ballots. I think there was some mail ballot of invitations that you issued, and the instruction said, hey, send them to the Secretary of State's office. Whoops, should go to the county in which the voter lives. What's that about?
No, it's not a whoops. You can do it to either. And I wanted to be sure that all the mail-in ballots were counted properly and registered properly and timely. So by getting them to the Secretary of State, we have a record. They immediately send them out to the counties, so we have a record. And this came about in part because I discovered last fall that some people who had registered to vote properly on time, the registration sat in a stack in the electioneer's office in Harris County, and the people weren't going to be allowed to vote because they hadn't gotten to them, and one of those people, Mark, was me. I sent in mine, and my wife sent ours in the same day. She got her registration on time. I didn't get mine. When we looked into it, they said, oh, we just had it on a stack. We hadn't gotten to it yet. So by sending them to the Secretary of State, we now have an official record of when they went in. They send them to the local offices, and we will be sure if for some reason they're not counted that we know where it happened, that they were just put on a stack and they didn't get their form mailed back. So belt suspenders.
Story number two, Texas Tribune, Patrick Svitek, James Barragan. Did you try to recruit former Governor Rick Perry to run in the primary against Abbott?
No, what I told Rick Perry or asked Rick Perry was, would he run if Abbott didn't run? And I had no idea last summer or even this fall if he was going to run. I know he said he was going to run. I thought there were some reasons that he might not. And I didn't want to run for governor. And if for some reason he didn't announce and run, I would be pressured into that. And I did not want to be pressured into that. I like what I do. The lieutenant governor's job is where all the action is. So that's what it was all about. And the bottom line with this, Mark, is this is just another liberal hit piece in the middle of early voting to try to divide Republicans, divide the president, divide me, divide Abbott, divide Paxton, divide everybody on the ticket. And it's, you know, it's if you look at the story, 12 mysterious unnamed sources who apparently, Mark, apparently were listening into my phone call with either the president or Rick Perry, because I haven't talked to anybody about these things. And we know, and it's interesting, later in the article, it says, Patrick, staff says, sources say he doesn't have to go through staff because he has a direct link to the president, which I do.
Yeah.
And then on the other hand, they say I talked to 12. So I don't even know 12 people on the team.
Well,
so
help me out with something.
When was it ever
less than 100% that Abbott was going to run?
When was it ever? Yeah. I don't know when it was less than 100%, but I was not sure he was going to run because he's talked about running for president and it's possibility that when you run for president, you may not run for governor.
There you go.
As Rick Perry did the second time around.
So let's say that was a possibility.
It would be pushed or anything.
And that was something you did not want to do because you liked the current gig, Lieutenant Governor. Exactly.
Yeah.
There are probably folks listening right now saying, okay, let's say Abbott didn't run. There are some Don Huffines and Alan West fans listening right now saying, hello, what's wrong with our guy?
Yeah. So, look, and let me set the record straight. I've already, because they also wrote in this piece of trash, again, liberal trash. The media's tried to hit somebody in the Republican Party every day. And I've already voted. And I voted for Greg Abbott. And I voted for Ken Paxton. I've already voted for them because they're the best people for the job. And I respect other people who have a different view. We don't endorse in each other's races when we're all on the same ticket. I don't think we have in the past. I don't remember. Maybe we haven't had primary opponents in the past. I just forget. But he has his race. I have my race. But I've already voted for these. Ken Paxton is the best attorney general I think we've ever had and the best in the country, period. And I know the other three people. I don't know Louie Harley at all. But they're a fine people. And people can vote who they want to vote for. But this is just the media trying to stir the pot. And it's just, you know, when you have 12 unnamed sources, Mark, and they say they've been apparently listening into private phone calls, because I haven't talked to anybody about any of these things except the president or Rick Perry or Ken Paxton. I only talk to those people. I don't talk to other people about these things. So that's that. Another liberal hit piece.
With thoughts roiling about the election, are you feeling pretty strongly in view of some of the stuff that we've done here in our state that the 22 result and the 24 result are going to be more reliable than the 2020 result was?
Yes, absolutely, because our election integrity bill is strong. The House did put an amendment to lower the penalty for illegal voting from a felony to a misdemeanor, Class A misdemeanor, which we then the governor put on the call to fix it. We passed it. The speaker wouldn't bring it on the floor in the last special. A lot of his members are getting criticized for their vote on it. His members didn't know what they were voting for because it wasn't explained on the floor. I don't blame it on the members. But except for that little piece, which we will fix next session, the bill we passed is really strong. We've made it a much tougher punishment, a felony for vote harvesting. Now on your mail-in ballot, you have to have the last four digits of your social or your driver's license number so we can track those. We disconnected our voting machines from the internet. There's a paperback trail, and I could go through a number of other things. But I am more confident than I have been in the past. But there will always be people, Mark. There will always be people trying to get around the system and cheat. There just will be. But we've made voting easier and cheating harder. This is something you never hear from the left, Mark. We've increased voting more than any other state in the union in the last decade. And if it's not number one, we're number two. I mean, we're right there. To give you an example, in 2014, when Abbott and I and Paxton were all running the first time, there were a total Republican, Democrats, Independents in 14, 5 million people voted, Mark. Do you know how many voted in the 2018 gubernatorial? 8.5 million. 76% people more voted, and I expect 10 million this November. That's 5 to 10 million people voting in the off-presidential year election in 10 years. And when Trump beat Hillary in 2016, there were about 8.5 million people that voted in Texas. And in 20, when he beat Biden, it was over 11 million. I mean, 95% Mark of the people polled in Texas, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, 95% said voting is easy. We have 2 weeks of early voting. We've extended the hours. That's more than many blue states have. So this nonsense that Texas restricts voting, and you see that in every story, Mark, every story the Tribune writes. You know, they just write trash attacking Republicans every day. And this nonsense about it's tough to vote in Texas is just nonsense. And people are coming to the polls. And we've made it more secure.
I have always looked for the Rosa Parks of voter suppression. Find me somebody who really wanted to vote and just couldn't.
Right.
Change is always tough to absorb sometimes.
Right.
And so we've had some stories this week, like 25% in Dallas County, 26% in Denton County, of some of the mail-in ballots getting rejected because folks did not put in their driver's license number or the last four of their social, which it's right there. It says you've got to do. So it's hard. I mean, nothing's monolithic. Right. But do you think that's folks who are just kind of slow on the uptake, or do you think that was folks trying to get away with something?
No, I think whenever you change a rule or a law, you know, there'll be, you know, some people may not be up to speed, may not read the form properly, and they get a right to cure that. That's one of the reasons, Mark, in the past, think about this. Before you put your driver's license and four-digit code on there and you sent in your ballot, they didn't even know how to track you down or to find you or to help you correct about it. They couldn't read your signature. So that's even improved. Now, if someone can't, you know, read the match up the signatures, but you have a voting ID number. And so these ones that are being returned, for the most part, I understand. I haven't had time to look at it one by one, obviously, but it's the numbers aren't matching up. Well, that's part of voter security. I mean, if you're going to vote, your numbers do have to match up. And so that's what we're trying to do. Let's, you know, make it as secure as we can. Nothing is ever foolproof, but more secure than, and Bob Hall had a great amendment, you know, disconnecting from the internet and the paperback trail. So this is we're going to be better than before.
We all pray that we're in something like a home stretch where we can stop talking and wringing our hands over COVID policy, but it's still around.
Yeah.
Over in Virginia, Glenn Youngkin the other day signs an actual bill from his actual legislature making mask mandates in the school illegal. Why couldn't we do that?
Well, we took control, and I'd have to go back. You know, we had a long 10 months in session. And we passed a lot of bills multiple times. You'll forgive me if my memory is a little blurry on a few things. But the governor came out and said that schools could not mandate masks.
And he got sued. And he got sued all over the place, and it's all a big stalemate.
He got sued all over.
He does an executive order. And, you know, Paxton's on the show every couple of weeks, and God bless Ken, talking about his opinions with us. Hey, here's a crazy idea. Have the legislature pass a law. Boom, you're done.
Yeah. Well, and we'll address that, you know, next session. We passed so many laws this session on so many things. I've never had a session like this in our history, Mark. I mean, the heartbeat bill, we've cut abortions by 60%, the election bill, stopping defund police, playing the national anthem at every sporting event when the Mavericks stopped playing it, go down the constitutional carry.
We passed great list.
Everything we could pass. By the way, I've got a press conference coming up on another issue, Mark, at 11 o'clock this morning about this UT. This faculty over at UT, the faculty council, saying that the people of Texas, which is the legislature, that's who we represent, and the Board of Regents need to stay out of their business, that they can teach anything they want, including critical race theory. And we're not going to let a bunch of socialists, Marxists, leftists, liberals poison the minds of our young men and women who go to the University of Texas or any other of our public schools. Everyone, you know, we believe in academic freedom, but you don't get a chance just to teach anything you want and not have any accountability to anyone. And the arrogance of that statement, that we're going to teach critical race theory, and the legislature and the Board of Regents have no say in what we say and what we do. We represent the taxpayers, and we represent the parents who pay high tuitions to go to these schools. And so I'll have a press conference on that this morning.
Speaking of UT, here's something that's in a lot of your spots about the gender battles and thus and such. UT Southwestern up here in Dallas and Children's Health had a clinic for transgender children, and it closed down. There's no such thing as a transgender child. Should that thing have existed in the first place?
So, Mark, here's what I know. I think gender mutilation surgery or reconstructive surgery, however you want to phrase it, is child abuse. Mm-hmm. The Senate. And I see some, again, more political hit pieces in the middle of early voting to try to confuse people. And I've seen something put out by one of the candidates. We passed in the Texas Senate two times, Senate Bill 1646 by Charles Perry and Senate Bill 1311 by Bob Hall to end this surgery in Texas. The House never gave it a hearing. Now, that's just the facts. And I will continue to pass that bill again and again and again and again, just like it took me 4 years to pass the sonogram bill that reduced abortions by, at that time, 25%. You know, you're pro-life. We've talked about that. Just like it took us many years to pass this year. Another thing we passed last session was a cap that our budget cannot grow more than population times inflation. That took many years. I do not quit on conservative principles. We do not quit. And I'm proud of our senators. We've had a conservative senator. I think with the new people who are coming, I think Tan Parker will win his election. Phil King will win his election and others around the state. We're going to have the most conservative Senate ever.
So if we have a House problem,
continue to pass strong legislation.
So on that issue of stopping the gender mutilation, because you're absolutely right. Yeah. Of course, it's child abuse. Mightn't it have been helpful if the governor put that on a special session? God knows we had enough special sessions.
Yeah, look, I don't speak for what the governor puts on the special session. I make my recommendations. He takes some, he doesn't take some.
Did you recommend that?
That's it. That's his call.
Did you recommend that?
Yes, I've recommended it, Mark. Okay. Absolutely, right. I've recommended it because I think we should have addressed it and done it. But you know, you handle so many things. We had three special sessions.
Okay, gosh. I know. Yeah. But from mask mandates to gender mutilating our kids, yeah. I somehow think we could have found the time if enough people thought that.
Well, he put, look, I somehow think we could have found the time. He put the, look. I'm not the governor. I don't put things on the call. You asked me a question, and my question was, we passed it twice. I asked him to do it, and he did. I would say 80 to 90% of things I asked for.
Oh, it is. Oh, dude, it's fantastic. This was an amazing legislative session. I just don't want to hear we didn't have time. I mean, we find.
Hey, by the way, hey Mark, I didn't. Let me be clear. I didn't say we didn't have time. We had all the time in the world to pass it.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Totally right. Exactly right.
And again, the House passed. I mean, the Senate passed it twice. So, and we passed it on, you know, on a special. One time was regular session, and the other bill was, I think, a special session.
And God bless those people God bless you and those people who are on that, and we need unanimity on that. Hey, we can't do a conversation without a final 60 seconds on borders. Sure. Our southern border remains open. Holy cow. I think this has always resonated to some degree, but it might be resonating today more than ever.
Yeah, look, Mark, it's never been worse. When I became lieutenant governor, I increased funding on this border security from about $200 million in the budget the previous session when I wasn't lieutenant governor to $800 million because that's what I was asked to do by DPS of what they needed. And under last year of Trump, we really had control of the border. I mean, it was the best it's ever been. And had Biden continued his policies, we'd have a secure border. But Biden has not. So now this year we're spending over $3 billion. I'm not classified. I'm not going to give you the information, but thousands of people from the National Guard, hundreds of troopers, a lot of technology. We're doing everything that we can. We're apprehending people. We're arresting people. That we turn up. Hopefully, the worst of the worst they send back, but we turn them over. As I said on Fox a few weeks ago, Biden's in the smuggling business. He's smuggling the people that come here illegally all around the country in the middle of the night, dropping them off on cities where no one knows. We have to win Congress back in 22. We have to win the White House back in 24. But in the interim, we're doing everything we possibly can. And I totally support Governor Abbott building the wall. We've started to do that. I first talked to the president about that back in 2017. And so we're doing that now. It's $20 million a mile. We shouldn't have to spend it. But we're going to do whatever it takes because we've got to stop this invasion. And for years, Mark, when I would be on Fox or in the print, I'd be criticized for saying it's an invasion. It's a flat-out invasion. And so we're doing everything we can right up to the edge of the Rio Grande. But when you have a federal government who absolutely just lets everybody in and doesn't do anything about it, it makes the job really difficult.
On Twitter, at Dan Patrick, campaign website, danpatrick.org. And we always appreciate it, sir. I'm sure we'll be talking soon about something. It's always a pleasure. Thank you and happy weekend.
Always
and safety
pleasure.
And success.
Hey.
God bless. You bet.
Thank you, Mark.
Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick, Mark Davis, 854.
On my way to better place.
Uh-huh.
I found myself some way.
No time left for you. We've been busy. Yeah, let me make clear real quick. I got to get out of this hour, and then we're going to talk to Antonio Suad, 32nd Congressional District, and then maybe a little bit more on our chat with Lieutenant Governor. I love that man. Dan Patrick is awesome. I love him. I think he's in a tough spot because there are folks that he supports and who are probably going to win. That's Abbott and Paxton and other folks, and Governor in particular. Just give me a minute here. I think on the stuff that I was applying some pressure on, why can't we just outlaw mask mandates in schools instead of putzing around with letters flying in every direction, executive orders and lawsuits on top of lawsuits? Why can't we just outlaw the child abuse that is chemical castration? Why can't we just do that? I think Lieutenant Governor Patrick wants to do that. I don't believe Governor Abbott and House Speaker Dade Phelan want to do it enough. Therein lies the problem. It's 8:59.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.